What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm with my old man, Howie. And welcome to episode 22 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Jordan and Howie back at it. Funny enough, we're actually in the car driving Jordan to school. At the University of Michigan, we're passing through the middle of Pennsylvania, and I haven't recognized a single thing in miles. What do you think of the trip so far, Jordan?
I've been sleeping for like 4 hours. This is like the first minute I've been awake, and we're doing the podcast. And funny enough, our intro music, Cult of Personality, I think it's only fitting that we talk about the return of one of probably my favorite wrestler of all time, CM Punk.
Yeah. As you guys know, we like to talk about anything and everything that's relevant to pop culture. Certainly getting excited with the football season approaching, and we're definitely going to get back to talking about that. But as Jordan said, if you're a wrestling fan, God.
Christmas came early.
Christmas came early, and New Year's came the next night, depending on how you view the WWE. But, Jordan, go ahead and talk about your boy CM Punk, man. Well, you always told me, I'm going to cry if he comes back. But I think that was to WWE.
It was 10 o'clock Saturday night.
No, that was Friday.
Friday night.
Rampage.
AEW Rampage is on. The rumors were swirling in about CM Punk coming back. It was taking place in Chicago, Illinois, his hometown. Right when you turn on the TV, you just hear CM Punk. CM Punk, and next thing you knew, you hear the Cult of Personality guitar solo, and he's back and better than ever, and he's ready to take on Darby Allin in 2 weeks at AEW All Out.
Yeah, as Jordan and I were talking about, the thing that's amazing about CM Punk is, you know, the story behind why he had a falling out with the WWE is more interesting than most if you like to pay attention to what goes on behind the scenes in wrestling. You know, you'll get guys, they don't get paid what they want, or, you know, they're not being used as well as they want. But, I mean, you know, I think we both agree that CM Punk had this uniqueness about him for years. You know, he wasn't like big muscles like Hulk Hogan and Batista, or, you know, this mystique around his character like The Undertaker. He was more of just sort of like a what you see is what you get. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, you know, he was upset, one, about the fact that he thought he had earned a spot to at least main event at least one WrestleMania.
And he also felt like, how come he's the one working the hardest? He's there every night compared to people like The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, The Rock, and that get main event served up to them on a silver platter, even though they're not there for 90% of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been a complaint about the WWE for a long time, about hardcore wrestling fans, is that, you know, these old-time legends, we're in real time, you know, somebody almost swerved into us there, but it's all good. These old-time legends can go away, take time off, then they, you know, when you get to some of the marquee events like SummerSlam and WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble, all of a sudden they dust these guys off. You know, they usually end up burying, you know, the big stars. I still remember, actually, a couple years ago, CM Punk had been like reigning champ in the WWE, one of the belts, for a long time. And all of a sudden, The Rock comes back and beats him at Royal Rumble. And next thing you know, Rock's in the main event at WrestleMania.
Yep, I totally agree. Just, he had every right to leave, in my opinion. Never got what he wanted. They always thought that he didn't have the best physique. He was just like an average guy wrestling. And now he's in AEW, and AEW's coming.
Well, the other thing I was also going to say, the other part that CM Punk had that was sort of interesting, and Jordan was listening to podcasts and telling me to listen to podcasts, is that I think he also was making claims that he was being misdiagnosed by the WWE's doctors when he was injured because they didn't want him to go off the road and the live events and stuff. So there's a lot of complicated stuff going on there. But again, as Jordan said, you know, I think part of it is it ran its course with his UFC fighting. He really didn't get anywhere with it. But the other thing is AEW has provided a viable alternative to the WWE for probably like the first time since WCW was in business, like 20 years. And we were both saying they do a great job of developing stars. I'm sure, I think they've been wooing CM Punk for 6 months now. You know, he comes out, they give him the mic Friday night, you know, one of the loudest, you know, reactions you'll probably hear. I mean, it's, you know, you hear people debating and stuff like that on Twitter and podcasts about how loud it actually was.
And he got his ice cream bars.
Again, I don't know, a lot of people know this story. That was an idea that CM Punk pitched to Vince McMahon, and Vince basically didn't even give him any credibility whatsoever. And here you go, he's at the first event in Chicago. By the way, one of the great things about AEW is their continuity and storylines, like Aleister Black coming in to AEW. And, you know, before he left the WWE, there was a storyline where I guess his eye got severely damaged. He comes into AEW, and they're still, you know, telling that story with his eye damaged. And in addition to the ice cream, which Jordan mentioned, I thought a nice touch that AEW did as well. You know, CM Punk's from Chicago. Some of the posts that were online, I think Jordan put on his Instagram story, had him in like a Chicago Bulls jersey, Michael
and
Jordan.
And he said, "I'm back."
Exactly. And now, for those of you listening who probably maybe not been alive when Michael Jordan was playing in the 90s, Michael Jordan retired. He played baseball. There's all sorts of speculation as to exactly why he took that break from basketball. But when he returned, I think it was in 1996 or 1995, there was simply a press release that said that I'm back. And that's what AEW did for CM Punk.
Yep. Now CM Punk is back. And as I said before, he's scheduled to take on Darby Allin with Sting in his ring corner at AEW All Out on September 5th. Yeah. In Chicago.
And back in Chicago, I mean, which says a lot about AEW's drawing power. They're going to be back in the same arena like 2 weeks later. And, you know, the possibility for creative matchups in AEW are tremendous. I really think, you know, if they did enough to get CM Punk to come out of retirement or whatever you want to call his sabbatical, his break, my guess is he talked long and hard with Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, and Cody Rhodes, about giving him the opportunity to show that he could be a top guy, that he could draw ratings, that he could draw crowds, because he's clearly, you know, wants to show WWE what they missed out on.
Yep, so expect matches with Kenny Omega, hopefully,
yeah.
John Moxley, who's known as Dean Ambrose in WWE, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's another one that's supposedly coming down the pike,
and
Daniel Bryan.
More. But let's transition over to WWE, who had two big returns last night. You got Becky Lynch, who, it was a great return until what happened after the return, where she beat Bianca Belair, who was built up to be this unbeatable woman in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you got Brock Lesnar, which speaks for himself.
Well, I think it's so interesting to compare CM Punk coming back Friday night and talk about his frustrations and why he left WWE and not developing people who deserve to be developed. And then you fast forward to last night in SummerSlam, and, you know, Becky Lynch comes back, and obviously a loud reaction from the crowd, and well-deserved. She's talented. She's very popular. And just, you know, I wouldn't even call it a storyline. It was just a mess where Bianca Belair, who the WWE has done a good job developing, charismatic, talented individual, had a great match at WrestleMania with
Sasha Banks.
Yeah, Sasha Banks. And that whole story gets muffed up last night. And then Lynch comes out and just challenges her to a match. And it's not even a match. I mean, she cold cocks her once. And the next thing she knows is she's given up the title. And as much as the crowd was happy about Becky Lynch coming back, I mean, I think they totally, like, soured on the fact that they just took this woman that's been, I don't want to say pushed to the moon. I mean, she deserved it. She's charismatic and talented. And they just, basically steamrolled her. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yep. And then later in the night, very late into the night, like 12:30, you got Roman Reigns versus John Cena, the best now versus the best of all time. And
which was a great match.
Great match. Lesnar returned, obviously. Fans wanted that. So it should be interesting to see what comes next. I'm expecting Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia for their big pay-per-view called Crown Jewel.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if they're calling it Crown Jewel this time, but for those of you guys listening, you know, the WWE has had this contract with Saudi Arabia where they go over a couple times a year and they put on these super shows. You know, I think with one of them, they had Shawn Michaels actually came back in a tag team with Triple H, and I think he'd like to forget he came back because that was a mess. And I think that's also where The Undertaker fought Bill Goldberg, and that was a disaster. Goldberg, you know, gave himself a concussion and almost killed The Undertaker trying to put him into a jackhammer. But the Saudi Arabians, all the stuff that you hear, you know, big oil, big money, these guys pay the WWE tens of millions of dollars for these shows, and they want to feel like they're getting special matchups and the biggest stars. So my guess is, you know, they're throwing a ton of money at Brock Lesnar to come back and fight Roman Reigns there. Jordan and I were saying, I mean, aside from the ponytail and the screwed up haircut that Lesnar had last night, not that anybody would have the guts to actually say it to his face, he basically looked like he came in on a private plane wearing the same outfit he got on the plane with, didn't even shower and do his hair, you know, came to the ring, confronted Roman Reigns, and, you know, obviously the crowd was popping for it. You know, just to talk a little bit about that Roman Reigns Cena match, again, great match between those two guys. You know, Cena, even though I don't think he's been in a match or certainly not on a pay-per-view in over 2 years now, before COVID, well before COVID, you know, comes in, he's in great shape. I thought his hairdo was a little screwy. Jordan thinks that might have been for one of his movies. He was wearing a great t-shirt, though, that Jordan and I noticed. And what'd you say it was, Jordan?
It was like Super Mario Bros. 2-3 Super Mario World, something like that, where he gets the leaf and, like, flies up. I think it's Super Mario Bros. 3. And on the back, they had, like, pixelated title belts.
Yeah, and it had 16 of them, which I was listening to actually another podcast today when we left early, and they were saying that they basically gave away that there was no way Cena was going to win the match, because why would you print up thousands of t-shirts and show 16 title belts on the back when he was trying to go for 17? But what are you going to do? Sometimes WWE's not so good with the details. But, you know, terrific match. It was nice for Roman, you know, continuing this storyline. He wants to be acknowledged, head of the table, and all that goes along with that, is that it was actually a clean win. No interference from the Usos or anything like that. And I guess the speculation behind the scenes is, you know, he'll probably have a program with Brock for a couple of matches. I'm assuming that Roman would come out on top. And apparently the big payoff to the storyline is going to be him and The Rock giving it a go at WrestleMania next year, which I think everybody would agree would be amazing. And I think eventually Roman will probably become a good guy again, you know. It's interesting watching some of these promos. Obviously, Cena's good on the mic. He's one of the best ever. Some of his stuff is still cheesy, but I think the fans missed him enough that to come back for a month, they cheered him throughout it. But some of the lines between him and Roman in their promos were pretty hilarious. And Roman's come a long way on the mic, but I still think Cena wins that one at the end of the day. And I'll say this, if The Rock comes back and they're going to fight each other, and, you know, they're cousins for those of you who don't know, it'd be interesting to see if Roman can hold himself up against The Rock in promos, because The Rock's probably up there with Ric Flair as the greatest talkers of all time. You know, what else about SummerSlam, Jordan? Was there anything else you wanted to talk about related to that?
Those are pretty much the two highlights of it. Wasn't the best pay-per-view. It was decent. The returns were nice.
Yeah, Edge versus Seth Rollins was a pretty good match. The Randy Orton and what's his name? The guy that he teamed with.
Oh, Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle, I think his name is.
Matt Riddle. Looks like they're going to continue that, which, you know, again, for those of you guys who don't know, when WWE superstars sell merchandise, they have t-shirts, like Cena had a new t-shirt. These guys get a piece of every item that's sold. And I think RK-Bro has still got some legs in terms of t-shirts and stuff like that. It reminds me of Kane and Daniel Bryan. Yeah. What was the name of their?
Hell No.
Yeah, Team Hell No. Like, sometimes they put guys together and they don't expect anything to come of it. And at the end of the day, it'll catch some short-term fire. I say short-term because WWE doesn't usually do a great job of developing long-term storylines. But my guess is those guys will sell some t-shirts and maybe even some scooters together.
Yep.
So, anyway, it's been a while since our last show. Frankly, you know, our specialty is football. We love football. We do like basketball also, but football is just a lot easier to talk about. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be putting up a football preview. We'll probably break it up into two shows just because there's a lot to talk about between the AFC and the NFC. We could talk a little bit about basketball, how the basketball season ended.
I mean, Jordan, I think we're both pretty happy for Giannis winning his first championship. It's finally nice to have a season where the outcome's unpredictable. And, like, it's not always LeBron or the Warriors or a stacked team in the finals. I think it was nice having Milwaukee and Phoenix both make the finals.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting playoffs. I mean, I think some people would talk to the way the schedule went in the NBA this year and the amount of injuries that they had might have affected some of the big stars getting hurt. You know, Kawhi got hurt during the playoffs. You know, LeBron got hurt during the regular season. Anthony Davis, you could go on and on and on. But it opened up, like Jordan said, probably the most unpredictable playoffs in the last couple of years for the NBA. Happy for Giannis. What can you say? I mean, this guy's 26 years old, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, All-World Player. He's got a great story. I think Disney's talking about doing a story about him, like a Coming to America type thing. And it's like you can't make it up with this guy. You know, I see pictures of him back in Greece hanging out with his mom and carrying his Finals MVP trophy. And, like, this guy doesn't care about being on super teams. I don't think he cares about commercials. You know, not that he would turn down the right commercials. I mean, he just seems like he's a freaking good guy. I mean, and he's his own man. And, you know, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, and he wanted to win that title for Milwaukee, and he delivered. What can you say? Even if he doesn't win another title in his career, this guy did what he said he was going to do. And, you know, the Knicks schedule came out the other day, and we're both very happy about the Knicks offseason, by the way. And I think it was on August 20th, and it's like opening night of the NBA is less than two months away now, October 20th.
It's Kemba revenge game.
Kemba revenge game, absolutely. And I think for the Knicks, their first 20 games, 15 of them are against teams that played below 500 this year, this past season. Although with all the moves, I mean, nobody can really predict what's going to happen. I mean, you know, Jordan has to eat a little crow. You know, he doesn't like the Nets, and he felt like the Nets built a super team. And, you know, we're driving to the NBA draft, one of the events we like to go to whenever we can. And what happens on the way down? We're listening to the radio.
Well, first it was Buddy Hield.
Yes.
Then it was nobody healed. Then it was Russell Westbrook. Then it was back to Buddy Hield. And then it was Russell Westbrook.
And we were standing about 10 feet away from Adrian Wojnarowski, you know, the ultimate NBA insider.
Screaming out what's going on, what's going on.
Well, he was working off of multiple computers. But anyway, and so what did the Lakers do?
They acquired Russell Westbrook, and now they have their own big three. And at the end of the draft, we met Jalen Green, who was high.
But in terms of the Lakers, you know, and again, I joke around with Jordan all the time. I mean, because he hates the Nets, and here you go, and now the Lakers got it. I mean, I think they're going to play on Christmas Day, and they're going to be breaking records, between the number of players and all-star games and MVPs and Punxsutawney. We're just passing Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And since we are all about pop culture, I'll digress. Anybody out there that can say what Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania is famous for? Well, there's only three of us in the car, and Hillary's barely awake. But Hillary, what is Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania famous for? Crickets! Crickets! Is she sleeping?
No.
Oh my God. Puxatawney, Pennsylvania is in the first week of February where the groundhog, they look to see if he's going to see his shadow. In fact, the Bill Murray movie. What was the Bill Murray movie about that? Groundhog Day. Puxatawney. I've never driven by Puck. I can't even spell it, for God's sake.
I think it's time to end the podcast.
No, we're not ending the podcast. We're going back to the Lakers stacking their team. We also passed Williamsport, by the way, the home of the Little League World Series.
Shohei's there right now.
No way.
I swear to God. He's signing autographs for the kids because they're playing the Little League and MLB game against the Indians.
That's today?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
I said that before.
And why didn't we get off?
I told you to get off.
We could have seen the Angels. Anyway, man. So, in terms of the Lakers and what they have now, I guess between the Lakers and the Nets, they're going to end up being the favorites going into next season. But, you know, Golden State getting healthy isn't going to be so bad either.
Yep, and Milwaukee, obviously, will be at the top.
Milwaukee will be at the top. And I think, again, we said it's going to be interesting to watch the Knicks and the Bulls with some of their offseason stuff. But as we said, guys, we're live and in real time on the drive out to Michigan. We'll probably record a couple of other episodes while we're making this trip since we're going to be in the car forever. Before we wrap up, we got to give a shout out. Don't open that sandwich, Jordan. We got to give a shout out to our number one fan,
Jack Posnack.
Jack Attack Posnack, our number one fan.
Who was on ESPN last week.
He was on SportsCenter last week. They did a great story. Hopefully you guys had the opportunity to watch it. If you didn't, go on and check it out. For those of you who don't know, and Jack's been a guest of ours before. Jack has a rare disease known by the sort of letters FD, familial dysautonomia. His mom, Robin, pronounces it a lot better than I do. But anyway, Jack's story got picked up by ESPN. It's actually an interesting story about how that happened.
It's on YouTube if you want to watch it.
Yeah, you could check it out. Matthew Berry, fantasy football expert, has become friends with Jack. And ESPN was out at Jack's house. And, you know, his mom talked about his disease. And Jack got an opportunity to talk to Matthew about his disease and what an outlet fantasy football is for him. For those of you who haven't seen the piece, you know, 3 years ago, Jack had said to Jordan, you know, I'd really love to do fantasy football. What'd you do, Jordan?
Made a fantasy football league with him, his brother, my dad, Howie, and six of our closest friends and family. Started up the league, and now it's world known.
World known?
World known, if that's a word.
It was on SportsCenter last Sunday. So a lot of people had an opportunity to see it and hear a little bit about Jack's story, which, you know, we love him. We think he's awesome. And hopefully more and more people will get to know his story because they should hear about it. He's a role model for everybody. He's a hero for us. And common bond between us is, you know, our love of football, our love of sports. And
our love of CM Punk.
I don't know if Jack loves CM Punk as much as Jordan does, but he certainly likes when we're watching fantasy football games together and Jordan's players gain 2 yards and Jordan says, I love it!
So cringe.
The 70-yard Travis Kelce touchdown. But anyway, hopefully we'll have Jack on again this season. He listens to all of our episodes. He was asking and asking when we're going to be recording again, but
we're back.
We are
back. As CM Punk says, I'm back.
We're back, hopefully better than before. Hopefully Jordan will make time for his pops to continue to record the show when he's busy out in Michigan doing what kids do in college. And we'll keep the show going.
Yep, but, so thank you guys for tuning in.
Yep, tell your friends we're back and they should listen and put good reviews.
Expect more episodes in
Jordan
the future.
Needs to get this sandwich going any minute. So thanks, guys.
For listening. We will see you next time.
On
the Jacobs Dynasty
Peanut Butter Jelly Sandwich
Sports Podcast. Bye, guys.